Hello, hello.
Hey,
Hello, hello.
isn't it heading home?
Thank you for being here.
I'm fine.
And I want to welcome everybody to our message this evening. And if you are one who has opened this message as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand this is a live teleconference meeting. So there will be people dialing in from around the country. So we'll give them a chance to get here. We'll begin our message in about 3 to 5 minutes. And anytime you want to join us live on our teleconference meetings at Freedom's Way, they're held every Monday night and Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter access code 373-363 pound. You can also go online to freedomswayministries.com for more information. Hallelujah. So, thanks for being here, Annette. Anybody else want to say hello so far?
Helen is here.
Great, thank you. Well, Helen, did you get a reminder call today about the meeting?
No, huh? Why, am I not supposed to be here?
No, you are. No, you are supposed to be here, but I couldn't remember if I had your number on the call, the reminder call
list.
No. So, you might have.
Would
to
you have
text
texted
me.
It? Would you have sent a text? Is that
no?
What you would
no, it would
have.
It would have been a phone call.
Oh.
So
okay.
if you would text me the number that you get phone calls,
okay.
I'll add you to that.
Okay.
I only send out reminders when we're starting a new series.
Okay.
If you want to be on that list of getting those
okay.
calls.
Okay.
Anybody else want to say hello before we get started?
Hello, how are you?
Great to have you here.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Amen. Anybody else so far? So good. The Holy Spirit was right on time.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Welcome.
Alice.
Hi, Martha. Alice. And is that Judy?
Yes, me, Judy. Marcia had a loss today. The lady died.
Yeah, I talked to her.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hello, hello, Ms. Vicki.
Hi, Mitch. Glad to have you here.
Hi, sis. Glad to be here, too. Yeah, glad you're there for us. Thank you.
Hello,
your brother.
Larry.
Hey, Larry. Welcome. Okay. Praise God. Anybody else before we get going? If not, I am going to mute your telephones, and we'll get started with our message tonight. Praise the Lord forever.
Good evening, saints of God. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. We are Freedom's Way Ministries. Our mission is to help you come into your true identity in Christ. And we are here to help you any way possible to empower your walk with the Lord and use of his benefits and power in the earth. So that's our mission, help you to achieve your highest level in Christ. And in Christ, we can do all things. So hallelujah, welcome. I'm going to pray us in for this tonight. I turn aside and let me start from the beginning here. Lord, we just thank you for this time and your word. We honor you and we give you glory and we thank you that your anointing is on this word to teach, to empower, to strengthen your people, become more like you, and to grow in kingdom power. So we just thank you, Lord, for your presence, your anointing on the word. We turn aside any assignment against this word in the name of Jesus. And we just say, Satan, take your hands off God's people. And you will not distort or blunt the power of this message or the how the people can grow in it and be empowered from what it has to say. So I say God bless you as you hear this evening. And hold on to your hats. We got a powerful anointed message for you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was premature this morning when I said we were going to talk about growing up. This is all talking about growing up, actually, growing up into the kingdom and into his power in us. We just came off of 7 weeks of understanding and moving in the anointing, and now we're going to give you some examples and ways that anointing has always been used. This is a series that I call Old Testament Principles for a New Testament Life. And we'll be taking accounts from the Old Testament, stories from the prophets, and regular people like us, who also are prophetic. You have that gift because you have Jesus in you. So we're going to be taking these lessons and showing you how you can apply the principles that are revealed in these lessons into your life today. We're going to start out in 1 Kings chapter 17, and I'm really excited about this series because there is a relevance in the Old Testament scriptures to our day, to our lives today. You know, God's word has so many dimensions, and there are so many things that we can learn from it, from Genesis to Revelation. It's really a travesty for people to disregard what it has to say before Jesus comes on the scene in physical form. The entire book is about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've said many times, you should be able to open your Bible to any page and see Jesus. You see the pattern of his life. You see his heart for every one of us, his guidance, his instruction through examples of history, through the Jewish culture, through the lives of those who came before us. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 tells us, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen.
Amen. Also, let us remind you of 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. And you are familiar with this scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine is teaching. Reproof is conviction. Correction is setting things right. Instruction is training. And righteousness is virtue in character and action.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that's really pretty clear. And I don't think anybody's ever explained that. They just go through the scripture without thinking about what it means.
That's true. And being like Jesus, and being like Jesus, who is our righteousness. So if I can read that again. Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is teaching. Reproof is conviction. Correction is setting things right. Instruction is training. And righteousness is virtue in character and action, being like Jesus, who is our righteousness. So tonight we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 17. So let's dip into the Word to see what we can learn, open ourselves to Holy Spirit conviction, and set some things aright in our lives and gain a little more of His righteousness. Hallelujah. And we encourage you to take notes if you can. And when you learn to be a good note taker, you will discover your pen remembers more than your brain does. And when you go back over your notes later, you may also find that the Holy Spirit will reveal even more to you about it.
Yes, that's right. And let me give a little background before we read 1 Kings 17. At this time in history, Israel had a succession of kings who, as Scripture tells us, did evil in the sight of the Lord, beginning when the kingdom was divided, beginning with Jeroboam. Jeroboam was a son of Nebat, who was a servant in the house of King Solomon. And Jeroboam rebelled against Solomon. Nebat rebelled against Solomon. And then when Solomon's son Rehoboam took over the nation, Jeroboam drew 10 tribes of Israel to himself, fulfilling a prophecy of Ahijah, however you want to say it. How do you say it, Phil?
I would say Ahijah.
Ahijah, okay. For English purposes.
English transliteration. I'm sure it's pronounced differently.
Ahijah. Then, anyway, Jeroboam made golden calves. That sounds kind of familiar. So that the people could make sacrifices without going all the way to Jerusalem. This king of Israel also appointed ungodly priests. He built high places. He ordained a sacrificial feast of his own at a time that was convenient to him. The word says, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. And of Jeroboam, God said by his prophet Ahijah that he had done evil above all that were before you. After Jeroboam, Nadab reigned in Israel, and he did evil as had his father. He was killed by Baasha, who took over the kingdom of Israel, and also did evil in the sight of the Lord by walking in the way of Jeroboam and making Israel to sin. Baasha was followed by his son Elah, also evil, who was killed by Zimri, who is a servant and captain of half of Elah's chariots. Zimri made himself king, and he reigned for a whole 7 days. During which time he killed all the descendants of Baasha and Elah. Wow. The people heard of his treason. Half of them made Omri king and besieged the palace. And at that time, Zimri saw what was coming, and he killed himself. So now, half the nation of Israel followed Omri, and the other half named Tibni as their king. So there was another battle, and Omri prevailed, and Tibni was killed. Omri wrought evil, even worse than all the ones before, according to Scripture. And when he died, his son, Ahab took over, and the evil increased yet again. Ahab married Jezebel. They both worshipped Baal and Ashtaroth, or Ashtaroth, also called Ishtar or Ishtara, where we get our word Easter. The nation was a mess. And that's where we are in history when this account in 1 Kings begins. So I'm going to ask you, pardon me, if you don't have your Bibles already, you can get them and follow along. Phil is going to read 1 Kings chapter 17. Please listen.
Always amazed me about the history of Israel and Judah and how many of these kings were evil. So buried in evil, and this is all the descendants of in through the lines of God's chosen people and Jesus.
Well,
he came
Judah,
through.
These are kings of Israel. Israel split up, and Judah went its own way.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'd have to do some study to see if they were descended from Jesus.
Yes.
But
well, Jesus was descended.
I mean, you know what I mean. That you know, if any, there were some evil kings in Judah, for sure.
Yes, there were. So. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord has amazing ways. And you're going to, as we go through this, I want you to meditate on the idea that these people are God's chosen people. Hallelujah. Chapter 17, in my Bible, it's headed, Elijah Proclaims a Drought. 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, or Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose. And went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar, and see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it
for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house, gave him to his mother, and Elijah said, see, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth.
Praise God. Nothing to it. See, your son lives. Okay, as most of you understand, Elijah was a mighty prophet of God. But I first want you to notice, Elijah declared himself to be in the office of priest of God also. In the nation of Israel, under the leadership of Ahab, priests of the Lord were not in evidence. Scripture does not readily reveal that there was any worship to the true God, only to false gods. So here, Elijah says, as the Lord of Israel lives, before whom I stand. Now, as you remember, it was only the priest who stood in the very presence of the Lord. So Elijah is fulfilling that office to stand and minister to the Lord. He's fulfilling that along with his calling as a prophet. So here in this verse, Elijah, as both prophet and priest standing before God, speaking as he hears from his position in the presence of God, prophesies a drought.
Here's an interesting point. Elijah prophesies a drought in the midst of the land where he lives. He himself will be subjected to the hardships resulting from Israel's rebellion. Psalm 68 tells us the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Elijah tells Ahab, there's dry land in your future and for this nation. This reminds us of another Old Testament principle we'll get to one day soon. Our actions don't affect only ourselves. In the story of Naaman, when Gehazi acted out of selfish rebellion, he ended up with Naaman's leprosy for himself and his descendants. Here, Ahab's disobedience and rebellion results in an entire nation suffering drought. The entire nation included Elijah. Had Elijah done anything wrong? Well, I don't think so. Do we think he needed to be punished or to suffer? I don't think so. And yet he is now going to be in the middle of the drought, right along with the rebellious people and evil Ahab and treacherous Jezebel. God did not remove Elijah from the tribulation of the nation, but he gave Elijah a way to survive. He says, go live by this brook Cherith, and I'll send some ravens to feed you. In studying out the name Cherith, this is what we found. It comes from two words, one which means cutting, particularly of the marriage bond, and the other means life guardsman. It's a divorce to save life. God tells Elijah, Israel has not guarded her life. She has cut me out of her life, and I'm divorcing her. I'm also guarding your life.
Hallelujah.
I hope you're following this. It's also an interesting word because of the ravens. If you or I heard a word like that, we would likely not want to follow that word. So we'd probably just dismiss it as not being from God. I mean, after all, God is telling his prophet that things are going to be bad. They are going to be so bad, I'm going to send you ravens to bring you food. Now, that doesn't make sense. Why would God treat me that way? There is not a single person listening in tonight or in the future on the podcast, I feel quite certain of this, that will want to eat anything a raven would bring. Ravens are birds of prey. That means they kill. They kill rats, mice, and such things. They tear the flesh out. Not a pretty sight, not an appetizing entree. There isn't anything in the word that indicates Elijah questioned God or even expressed his displeasure at having to endure such indignities. He didn't say, hey, Lord, how about just have the manna appear? You've done it before. I mean, this is really gross.
Yep, I can agree with that. Saw some rat remains this week, and it smells and is gross, yeah. But we can take a few principles from this. First of all, we learned that just because God chooses to use us doesn't mean we're any more special than the next guy.
Amen.
We don't get to escape the consequences of rebellion in our own lives, and even at times, the rebellion initiated by others. Second, we have to be rightly positioned to receive from God. And if we aren't in the place we're appointed to be, we should not expect God's provision.
Wow.
And third, God's instructions and directives, the things he tells us to do, are always for our benefit, but not always pleasant, appealing, or joyful in appearance.
These are really good points. We're not more special than the next guy, so we don't escape consequences. We have to be where we're appointed to be if we want God's provision. And the things he tells us to do are always for our benefit, but they're not always fun. They are not always pleasant things. So, Elijah camps out by the brook of divorce and eats the yucky flesh brought to him by the ravens. He likely would rather have killed one of the birds than roasted it. Then, as if adding insult to injury, The brook dries up. What's up with this, Lord? You gave 3 million people in the wilderness water out of a rock. Can't you even keep the water flowing in this little stream? Hello? Now, isn't that something we might have thought? And God speaks to Elijah again. This time, his instruction is even stranger. It is more bizarre than ever. Go to Zarephath to live. There's a widow there to take care of you. Now, that is really ridiculous. A widow? That can't be God telling me that. Widows are the poorest of the poor.
Wow. Well, he goes anyway, and I think there had to be a little trepidation on the part of Elijah to do that. But he did it. And when he came to the gate of the city, notice he didn't enter the city. And this is significant because the source word for this word gate means he will open. Elijah didn't go in on his own. He waited for God to open the way, and he saw the widow gathering sticks. So he asked her for water, which was the most precious commodity in the land at the time. That took some holy boldness.
I'd say so.
She goes to get it, and then he asks for more. Bring me some bread, too. At this, the widow explains she only has enough food for herself and her son to eat one more time. Her plan is to eat the last of her provision and then die. She has no hope beyond that. She's out gathering sticks to cook her final meal. The word sticks is made up of three other words, which mean tree, closure, and spine. And if you look at that all together, you could easily conclude that the sticks she was gathering and the very act of getting them was evidence, the witness. That's the symbolic meaning for the number two, that she had come to this conclusion, the closure of her life and that of her son, and was focused on having the backbone to see it through.
Wow. It's amazing if you meditate on the word, what the Holy Spirit brings forth from it. But you know, I don't know about you, but I can imagine Elijah had to wonder if maybe he missed God on this one. Hey, Lord, what are you trying to do to me? I can see the headlines now. Prophet takes last food of dying widow. I'm about to look really bad here. But instead of doubting God, Elijah pressed the widow even more. Don't be afraid. Make me a cake first. Then you can go and do as you said. Essentially, Elijah said, feed me first, then you can die. It sounds very selfish, doesn't it? You know, you might remember reading about how Elisha the prophet would not accept a blessing, yet here we see Elijah the prophet pressing for one. The point, again, is that we have to seek the higher purpose of God in the matter of giving and receiving. Then Elijah prophesies to the widow, here's why you don't have to be afraid, and you're not going to die. God loves you. He will not allow your provision to dry up like the rest of the land. Elijah introduced the woman to true faith and trust in God. He showed her God is real. She obeyed his word, and God did not fail to provide meal and oil every time she went to bake another cake. The ingredients were there. Now, it is a miracle. And there was a similar miracle in my own life before you came along, Phil. It was some months after my late husband and I opened his last auto body repair business. I mean, it took everything we had and borrowed money to do it. But quality automotive paints and everything associated with them is extremely expensive. We were located at the beach, also extremely expensive. And he used the last of the catalyst that you have to have. It you know, you only need like a drop or two or three, but an exact drop at a time measure. He used the last of it. You have to have this for the paint to have the chemical reaction necessary for a successful finish to the process of painting. We did not have the money to resupply the catalyst. But we figured, like the widow woman, well, it was a good run while it lasted. But another car came in, and we decided to believe God. And when he turned up the can to drop the drops into the color on the paint scale, they were there. And the drops were there in exact measure for about 3 months until we pulled out of that slump. It was totally amazing. When the money was there to buy the catalyst, we found the can was not only empty, the can was completely dry inside, as if there had not been anything in it for a very long time. That is God.
I have to do a sidelight on that because it just hit me that sounds very similar to the Hanukkah miracle.
Yes, it does. Tell them that one.
Well, the Hanukkah miracle was that the temple was defiled. I think it was in the 200s B.C. or something. And the Maccabees were the Jewish,
they were priests in some certain region.
Right, but they were also fighters. And they came into the temple and they were staying there, and the temple had been defiled by their enemy, and they had brought pigs in and all that to defile it. And everything was destroyed, and all they could find was one drop of oil. And so in the Hanukkah miracle, it's called they in every synagogue they have an eternal flame related to the fact that that oil lasted 8 days, and that's why there's 8 days of Hanukkah. That oil burned in the lamp for 8 days. And that's where the 8 days of Hanukkah come from, and the miracle of Hanukkah. So it sounds very similar to your miracle there about it lasting until it didn't need to last, and until God was finished with what had to happen was to bring provision. And the same thing happened in that miracle. So that's so exciting to know that God has always been in the miracle working business, always. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament,
and it's in our lives.
And it's now. Hallelujah. Okay, moving right along. So even though this widow obeyed the word of the Lord from the prophet, I have to think she was somewhat skeptical. We can see that's true as we read on and discover that her skepticism remained until she experienced a second miracle. I don't want to get into that tonight because I'm sure we have plenty of time to study it out, so we'll look at the rest of the chapter next week. But let's finish up with a few more principles from what we've looked at so far from the widow, and this is what we learned. First, at those times when life seems hopeless, God has something better in mind than we can imagine.
Thank you, Lord.
Second, God loves us and provides for us, even when we aren't sure why or how. And I think that's for everybody.
Yeah.
They would just receive it. Third, when we obey the word of the Lord, there's a blessing in it. And regarding Elijah, we learn, first, God's ways are most certainly not our ways. The most unlikely person to support another one at this time in history and circumstance was a widow. God had a lot of things going on with these widows, you know, over the years. I don't want to get all sidetracked. Second, it's important to wait on God and allow him to open the way.
That's right. That's right.
Wait on God. Allow him to open the way. Thank you, Lord. Third, trusting God and acting boldly on what he tells us will accomplish his higher purpose. Elijah wasn't there for himself. He was there for this widow and her son. God's higher purpose was to show his love and mercy to this woman. Once again, introducing the concept of grace. And while Elisha spared Naaman's life by refusing the blessing, Elijah saved the woman's life by demanding a blessing.
Wow. That is amazing. You know, God's ways, they are beyond finding out. I am going to ask you all to pray with me and seal this word. We're also going to do a little bit of deliverance around the word of God. You know, we read this entire chapter, although we're going to get to the principles and the how we apply them in the latter part of the chapter we'll do next week. But as you listened to this word tonight, you know, God has said that he follows his word with signs. So let's pray.
Father God.
Thank you that you're showing me your power,
showing me your
power, your glory,
your
glory, and your mercy, and that you are revealing Jesus to me, through every word of Scripture,
every word of Scripture,
not just the New Testament,
not just the New Testament.
Thank you for the insights you reveal.
Thank you for the insight you reveal.
And the fact that you do not do things the same way.
And the fact that you do not do things the same way.
All the time. You are steadfast.
Are steadfast.
Your methods are always sure and true.
Methods are always sure and true.
But they can never be put into a formula.
Never be put into a formula.
Help me, Lord, to be content with what you are doing in my life.
Help me to understand
that because I trust and obey,
I obey you.
It doesn't mean that everything is always going to be sunshine and roses. But it does mean that whatever it looks like, you know what you're doing. And you will bring into my life and into the lives of others through me your saving grace. Forgive me, Father, for discontent. Grumbling or complaint. And give me your peace.
Give me your peace.
In every situation and circumstance.
In every situation and circumstance.
Instill in me, Father.
Instill in me, Father.
Holy boldness to speak your word.
Holy boldness to speak your word.
And your truth. no matter what the worldly consequences may be.
No matter what the worldly consequences may be.
Even if I am affected by them.
Even if I'm affected by them.
I break agreement with fear of man.
I break agreement with fear of man.
Fear of looking bad.
Fear of looking bad.
Fear of reprisal.
Fear of reprisal.
Fear of loss.
Fear of loss.
And any other fear.
Any other fear.
That has hindered me from fulfilling your purpose.
That has hindered me from fulfilling your purpose.
I also break agreement with discontent.
I also break agreement with discontent.
Grumbling and complaint.
Grumbling and complaint.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Praise God. I want to remind you all that you just broke agreement with those things. And as I speak to them and they leave you, you will have some discipline work to do, and that is to not participate with them when they come knocking on your door. You've heard us say this before. Fear not, faith answered. There was nothing there. And a heart of thankfulness, an attitude of gratitude, is a closed door to discontent, grumbling, and complaint. And those are character things that we discipline ourselves and develop. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I take the sword of the Spirit of God and I sever generational cords of iniquity, evil soul ties of discontent, grumbling, complaint, fear of man, fear of looking bad, fear of reprisal, fear of loss, and other fears. I cut through those cords of iniquity and those soul ties now. I send back in the spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you, and I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. In Jesus' name. Whew, thank you, Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I cast out every spirit and spirit guide of discontent, grumbling, and complaint, also accusation against God. When you question him, you are accusing him. Do not fall into the devil's trap. Do not fall into the devil's trap of why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? I'm doing everything right. I break the power of that spirit in the name of Jesus. Yes, you've been exposed. I break your power. Anybody that has ever said that or thought that or accused God in that way, I want you to repent of that. And break agreement with that spirit. And I cast you out, you spirit of accusation. Accusation against God, come up, come out. Questioning God, his abilities, his love for you. Get out in Jesus' name. You don't belong here. Questioning his faithfulness. Loose these people in Jesus' name. And I speak to fear. Fear of man, fear of looking bad, fear of reprisal, fear of loss, and other fears that hindered you from fulfilling your purpose. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you come up, you come out, and you go. I send every one of you into the consuming fire of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire. Father, I thank you that in every place these spirits have left. Yes, Lord, okay. Whoever you are that is feeling that tightness in your neck and your chest, put your hand there in the name of Jesus. I command that thing to come up and out now. Loose, loose, loose. I release you from that in Jesus' name. You can't hang around. They broke agreement with you. I thank you, Lord, that in every place where there has been discontent, grumbling, and complaint, that you fill your people now with a peace that passes understanding, with a contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Fill us, Lord, with gratitude, with thankfulness, with awareness of your presence in our lives. Where there was fear, Lord, fill us with your perfect love that casts out all fear. With a deeper trust, a higher level of faith in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Fill us up. Fill us up, Lord. You are so good. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for these principles. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you show us how to apply them into our lives every day. Woo! Thank you for the freedom. Amen.
Yeah.
If you have a comment or a question, please push your *6 keys, and we'll be able to hear you. Anybody out there got something to say? Take a breath. It's okay. You can breathe now.
Hey, Sister Vicki, this is Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Yeah, when you said something about the throat and the chest, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
That one hit home. Thank you, Lord. Because sometimes, and right before what you were talking about, that questioning God and accusing, boy, yeah, I went through that and... Yeah, thank you. The main thing is thank you, Lord, for comforting me that you haven't left me. Yeah, when he spoke through you, he reminded you. Thank you for being responsive to him. And thank you, Lord, for remembering me.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good.
Amen.
Hey, Vicki, this is Alice.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to thank you and say how important these principles are, especially for the day we're living in here with now, because I do believe we're going to be facing all of those shortly.
Amen.
We need to get
Amen,
under
Holly.
Our belt.
Yep, we need to know. We need to know God's faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Alice. Thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Anybody else got something to say? Hallelujah.
I just want to say thank you, brother and sister. I had a tightness of, thank you, brother and sister. I had a tightness in the back of my neck. Thank you for leaving me too, also.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, I knew it was from more than one person.
God bless you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you all. Thank you.
Ooh, God is good. Oh,
hey,
God
everybody.
Is good.
Gretchen. Hi, Gretchen.
Thanks for
you.
Being here.
Of course. Thank you.
And, of course, you're welcome. Bless you, bless you. Okay. If anybody else has something to say, now is your chance. *6 is how you do it. Then I would ask you to mute your phone back out again so that Phil can bless us with the benediction. Okay.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Seal it deep in our hearts, Lord. Help us to know and recognize your work in our lives, Lord, and your ways. Strengthen our spiritual discernment, Lord, to know what spirits are operating and to know how to operate in them and with them and to them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for touching us with your word and your anointing. And thank you for your goodness and your great plan for our lives. It is to do us good, your word says, and we thank you for that. Thank you for being with us. Lord, we worship you tonight. We worship you, Father God. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. And as Aaron blessed the children of Israel in Numbers, the 6th chapter, I will now bless you with the Aaronic benediction in Hebrew and English. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Your presence, your blessing, abundance, abundant blessing. Thank you, Lord. Yehi varachach Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Yisa Adonai ponav elecha yifunecha. Yisa Adonai. Panabelecha, v'yisem lecha, shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom. Give you the peace of God. And we add in Yeshem Yeshua in the name of Jesus, who is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, for your Son and your plan and purposes. And thank you for blessing us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We honor you tonight. Ask you to encamp your angels around your people this week and give them prosperity, strength, and health and healing and miracles, the working of miracles, this week in a mighty way, and let them feel your tangible presence tonight and your shalom, your peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. We will be here at the King's Table on this line in the morning at 7:15. And again, this message will be presented Friday evening at 8:30 as the Holy Spirit leads us. So God bless you all. Have a great week. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye now.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night, all. We love you. Love you. Amazing people.
Good night. God bless. Bye.
God bless you, my dear.
Thank you.